Welcome to 51 First Dates.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are doing an experiment.
And talking about dating.
And love. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Cheers, guys. I'm cheersing.
Cheers. Via Skype. Ooh. Cheers.
What are you drinking over there?
I'm drinking a Victoria, very favorite Mexican beer.
Sounds amazing.
I found it at BevMo, my very favorite liquor store in all of the world.
Amazing.
But this is 51 First Dates. Welcome to it.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
I guess Kenny.
Yes, we're joined by Kenny, our new dater.
Kimmy's brother.
We've got... Also my brother. I like getting really official at the top of the
pod. In order of importance, these are his.
Yep. New dater, then brother. No, loving brother. I'm like really jealous that you both get to hang out together. Liza and Kenny, my brother, our new dater, are hanging out in New York while I am in LA on Skype with them. And I get a little bit jealous. That's all.
Kenny and I rolled into this recording at the exact same level, which is...
We both just got out of bed 30 minutes or less ago.
And it is 7 p.m.
So we're both struggling. We've got New York vibes, which I think makes sense.
Which
Kenny's like, over there running around errands, furniture shopping.
Like, yeah, I got two different Craigslist furnitures. One was I drove outside of LA. I'm pretty sure I was in the Valley. And I did hot yoga. I'm so fucking annoying. But I went out last night too. It just fucking, it happens here. You become an annoying person.
I mean, yep. I think it, yeah. I think also just like, this is an outlier for me. I just like, I drank for like 12 hours yesterday. I was at like a really fun wedding. It was really big, but it was like extreme full day, like going hard the whole day. And like the night before we had done or like a lot of partying at the rehearsal dinner. So I'm just, you know, I'm just crusty. That's my...
I'm sure a lot of our listeners, if they're listening on a Sunday or any day after drinking, can relate. I don't know. Last weekend I had a Sunday where I couldn't do anything. I had gone to Santa Barbara and I got home and I was like, yeah, that's it. Lying in bed all the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Just that's it.
Totally. I had full plans to like watch a whole TV series today. Like I was gonna finally watch Killing Eve. I was like, I'm just gonna buy it on Amazon. Like I'm gonna say YOLO and just buy it, whatever. And like I couldn't even... Like, I didn't have enough, like, mental energy to focus on a new show.
I have literally no excuse, and I put off every errand that I was supposed to do today. I woke up, like, tried to be productive, went to the gym, was there for probably less than 30 minutes, took a shower, turned around, came back here, and didn't leave my bed since. So, I just am a trash monster, so we'll just go with it.
Yay.
I mean, I'm a trash monster in looks right now, too. Okay, let's just call this, like, trash monsters acceptable. We're all trash monsters. Great. So for our new listeners,
it fits with our theme today a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Of priorities. I mean, it doesn't super fit with our theme, but just like you went to the gym, like okay, whatever. We're talking about priorities and making dating a priority, and that's our theme. But I think it also fits because sometimes you have to prioritize lying in bed all day.
Yes, you do. I mean, I honestly believe that though too. You need to like take the time to do you. Fuck. Yeah, I just realized I'm starting to sound like, oh, yeah, you need to, like, take self-love.
Wait, did you do yoga today?
But I am, my yoga teacher was all about this, like,
of course.
You're here on a Sunday.
Of course.
Congratulate yourselves. Just kidding, class was great. I'm drinking a beer, though, so I'm not too LA. Should we tell our new listeners just what's going on real quick?
See how
quick we can do it?
Updates.
Okay. Cool, so, like, let's try. You probably turned on this podcast called 51 First Dates thinking we'd be talking about one of 51 First Dates, but that was – we kind of are. Okay, I have already blown this. Basically, I, Kimmy, went on a bunch of dates that Liza, who you just heard from, helped me organize, like, discuss, like, run down the details of. She set me up with people. Like, all these cool, great things happened, and Liza and I debriefed, and – she helped me keep my head above water. Oh, boy, this is going so well.
No, you're crushing it.
And eventually I met someone on date 13, but I did 32 of the 51 dates, and I realized I was pushing it. I had to, like, you know, shit or get off the pot.
Yeah.
I had to make a decision.
Oh, my God, I hate
it. Why is this so hard? Okay, basically I went for it. I'm dating someone, and we recruited a new dater. We're recruiting two more daters, but our first dater is Kenny. He's here today to discuss his date number 2 of 51 or, you know, less. Do Don't worry. Don't look scared. Okay. Yeah. So does anyone else, Liza, do you want to add to that? Do you want to make it a little clearer what we're doing?
I mean, I think that like, if you're just joining us now, you can go back to the beginning and hear about Kimmy's 52 date/32 date journey. Or you can just stick with us now and like get on board with our new dater, Kenny. And we actually have exciting new dater announcements for those of like you guys who have been listening forever and have been following us kind of this summer as we like rejigger the structure of the podcast. We're going to bring on probably 3 new daters, and we're going to be hearing from each of them, like one of them a week, as they go on a 51 date journey. So we thought it would be kind of fun, and like you guys would hear a lot of different perspectives. We brought on a boy because that's different than us. we're continuing to just try to find people who we think like would bring a totally new perspective on dating onto the podcast. So
yeah, we'll still have guests on. So it'll be Kenny and then 2 more daters, and we'll still have guests on. I just wanted to super clarify it. And then in the meantime, we might fill in as we're organizing all the logistics, like some random guest daters too here and there. So keep doing all that you're doing, sending us your dates. So many people sent in that they are doing their own experiments. Someone started an Instagram for their experiment. It's really, really cool. We're so touched that you're like communicating with us, like starting things, inspired. We're touched that you're listening to us right now and still listening after the ramble I just made.
Some of your fan base has even like reached out to me on Instagram. So, I mean, clearly you have people that are invested in your project and like, apparently my project, if I want to call it that now. But yeah, I'm like getting hit up with like follow requests on Instagram. If you're listening, get ready to be disappointed. I'm probably the worst social media user of all time. I spend more time than I want to admit on Instagram, but rarely post anything, and usually will post a story that I regret posting and delete in the morning. So like, get ready for like an Instagram experience, but I mean, it's going to be lackluster to say the least.
Kenny, you are too hard on yourself.
No, I think it's funny.
After that pitch, follow at Kenny Foskett. Yeah, is that actually your handle?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if it's too depressing when you follow him, follow at 51firstdatespod.
Totally.
No, I'm good.
And where if you're feeling crazy, stuff. You can also follow Kimmy and I on Instagram. I'm at Liza Jo Renz. Liza, yes. JoeRenz.
Plug in
IG. I'm private,
I'll
accept you.
Yeah, I literally can't believe I'm plugging my own Instagram. Yeah, I don't think I've posted an Instagram since May, but I do get drunk and make stories a lot. That's the only
thing. I love drunken stories. I love making them.
Yes. Kimmy just commented on a story I made from the wedding I went to. Like before we started recording, we were chatting about the wedding a little bit because Kimmy knows people getting married and whatever. And she was asking some questions about the wedding. She was like, oh, it looked in your story, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know what was in my story. I know I posted a story, but I'm just not totally sure what I was showing.
It was nothing egregious. It was nothing, you know, no illicit substances.
Good.
Kenny, my LA roommate Annie just started following you, and we were in the car when she did. What is your Instagram bio?
Shenanigans and debauchery.
Yes. Which is like a little off brand, but I like it.
I don't know. It means it's just the more sophisticated goofs and gags. I mean, just don't take it too seriously.
Oh, goofs and gags. Do you have shenanigans and debauchery? Guys, I'm trying to be a nice older sister, but sometimes I give him a hard time. Do you have it listed on your dating profile?
I have shenanigans. I think shenanigans is more casual.
Okay, shenanigans.
Debauchery is just like, I don't know. You're going to have to get into. Maybe there's going to be some weird
shit. That's the part that I'm like, that makes it sound like you're a crazy person. really crazy partier.
No.
You were very civilized here. Yeah.
I just thought it was just kind of a fun word, to be perfectly honest. It's kind of like evil genius vibes, but totally off-brand to your point. I'm like really sitting here puffy face, like trying to huff down this beer and talking about it. Debauchery and evil genius. So like, we're in a cool place right now.
I'm being a dick. I'm truly being a dick.
That's fine.
Okay.
What do you have siblings for that, other than to be a dick, right? I give it back.
True. So today we're going to talk about, oh my God, I forgot, priorities is our theme. And we're going to hear about date number 2 from Kenny.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
So shall we kick it off with a tradition we haven't done in a while, the taxi cab confession?
Totally. I'm excited to hear. Do you want to play yours or do you want me to play it?
How does it work?
For our new listeners, I keep only talking to them. Thank you to our continuous listeners, too. Taxicab Confession is just when our dater, Kenny, records his first impressions of the date. It's not always right after in a taxicab, but you get the idea. So we're going to play that.
Hey, this is Kenny, just doing this taxicab confession, wandering around the streets of the Upper East Side. It's a Tuesday. I'm kind of lost because I never hang out here. And just wrapped up date number two. Ultimately, I thought it went well. I mean, it wasn't perfect. Conversation was good. It had kind of been this long preamble in terms of, like, trying to figure out logistics and when we could actually go on the date. So, like, there's a lot of thinking beforehand. And I think ultimately that leads to just, like, forced expectations or similar. I'm not really sure how to explain it at this moment in time, but I feel like a little bit of a weirdo walking around on my phone, so I'll leave it at that. I think ultimately we'll see. I don't know if I have super high hopes about the continuation of, like, seeing this individual, but it was fun, and I really can't say anything negative. So as I leave it to the birds, we can continue to talk about it on the pod. Peace.
Great, you crushed it.
I first don't know why I actually felt uncomfortable. I was walking to the gym today and I walked by human excrement on the sidewalk. So for, like, me to feel weird walking around on the phone, like, talking to myself is, like, I mean, like, just self-harm.
The one time I ever made a taxicab confession, which is when I, like, creepily watched Kimmy on a date from, like, a different corner of the bar, I felt like a crazy person. And also mine was, like, 7 minutes long. So you did a great job.
It was so good.
Short, I really liked sweet. It though.
Wait, Kenny, I always felt like that too. I, like, would, like, go on, like, these, like, really probably dangerous, like, dark streets to be alone in Brooklyn, like, just so I could, like, and meanwhile there are, like, influencers, like, videoing themselves selfie style, like, at everything they see. So
yeah, I mean,
don't feel, like, badly.
I was walking across the Brooklyn Bridge the other day and, like, people are constantly on their phones, like, filming themselves, and I was like, can't be, like, that weird to just be speaking to my phone. Yeah, it was just, like, very bizarre. Also, hearing it was, like, weirdly out of breath. I don't know if that came across, but I was like, it just sounded like I just had jogged. But I mean, oh well.
I mean, always did too.
You hiked up to the Upper East Side, so
fair.
Okay, cool. So tell us about, okay, so you met on Hinge.
Yeah, I should probably switch that up so we have more conversations. Yeah, same.
No, just I'm just, like, covering the bases.
Yeah, for sure.
No, it's okay. You don't have to, like, try new apps. Like, if Hinge is working for you, I'm starting to think Hinge is, like, truly the best one out there. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Kenneth?
I think Tinder is kind of trashier. I don't know if that's really fair because I'm sure people use it and feel good about it, but I think there's, like, robots and, like, more of, like, the ads. I don't know. It doesn't feel as sophisticated. Bumble oddly puts the pressure on the female to respond, which I don't know if it's necessarily always the best. And then, like, for Hinge, just is, like, it's two ways. People can like each other. You can choose yes or no. I think it just provides more flexibility and feels like, I don't know, the app itself, like, in it is, like, technologically, like, sound. It feels good. So that's
I really like that. That Hinge had that thing where it would send you, like, that match that they thought you'd be good for, like, once a week. And then, like, you both, like, one of you can, like, I don't know, they kind of pressure you to, like, get involved. And you only have so many likes you can give out a day, right?
Yes. Like, and they also 10? Changed up the algorithm a little bit whereby, like, it used to prioritize all the people that matched with you. And so you'd see them first on your thing. Now it doesn't necessarily do that. Like, if someone matches with you, you'll see them. And so you have a queue of, like, five people. It'll be, like, match, like, two other people that you haven't seen yet, and then, like, jump back in. So, like, it forces you to, like, look at other people rather than just, like, sit on a bunch of, like, names and be like, I'll get through these. I don't know. It just works from my perspective.
That's good. At one point, Hinge sent me an email, and date 13 was, like, the email, the match. He, like, sent a screenshot of it to me because we had been going on dates at that point. He was like, oh, my God, funny. They think so. Like, props to Hinge. Like,
yeah, they've got something figured out. That's smart. Yeah. That's cool.
Anyway, okay, cool. That was, again, not a sponsor. We're not sponsored by Hinge. I just truly kind of feel like it's, like, the, like, or it's, like, an outlier in a lot of ways because you have to, like, comment on each other's things, and I don't know.
I think it's fun.
Bueno. So, yeah, that was a really good taxicab confession, actually, because I don't know. I feel like I got some picture of, like, how you actually felt after the date, but tell us more about the actual date. Like, where'd you go?
So after a series of cancellations and just like rescheduling, just because like we both had very busy schedules. We ended up at a bar in the Upper East Side called the Penrose, which Brandon suggested. I'd never been. It was like, I don't really know how to define the Upper East Side. I'd be interested to hear what you guys think about it, but it was just like not an area I spent a lot of time. So like to have a solid recommendation is always appreciated. So it didn't feel like anything that wouldn't be in the East Village or like any other neighborhood that I hang out in. So it was like a, it was like perfect.
How many dicks?
How many dicks?
Yeah, how many dicks out of five dicks would you give to Penrose? I mean, we can make it vaginas if you...
No. I just completely forgot that was a thing. Lots of dicks. All of the dicks. No.
Just so many dicks.
Like a 3.5. I don't know. It was like a good spot. We were like up front by the bar, which I think is cool. I know they do like live music at a certain area. So like we didn't really like... I didn't really have a chance to like fully explore, but... I thought it was like a solid bar. I would recommend it.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, it's so like, wait, the one bar.
A tiny bit. So like in the interactions on, so you guys first matched, you're chatting, whatever. You move to text quickly, right? That's like your move. And then how long did you guys text? Like how long was it from like when you first matched and talked on Hinge to when you actually met up?
Like 3 weeks. It was like very bizarre because I don't know why I was so into it, but it was just, like, we had a lot, like, from, like, her profile. She grew up in Massachusetts, which is, like, a town, like, very close to where we lived. She went to U of R, which is in Richmond, where I live. So, I, like, felt like there were a lot of, like, commonalities in terms of, like, just, like, things that we could talk about. So, I was, like, it's worth giving it a shot. So, I think we had, like, scheduled a date, or, like, we had jumped a text. That week didn't work. We had scheduled something the next week. Had to reschedule, then I had to reschedule, and then finally ended up, like, landing on a Tuesday, like, probably the fourth week, or, like, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, which is, like, seemingly a very long time from my perspective. Yeah. It just was, like, a lot of back and forth, and, like, I don't know, I just think it, like, weirdly creates this unnecessary tension, or, like, I don't know, it's, like, a buildup that shouldn't exist, right? It's, like, oh, like, we're gonna do it now, and we can't do it now, and, like, you just ends up, like, building up, like, mentally, or, like, creating some mental buildup that just, like, doesn't matter. Like, ultimately, would rather have had it happen quicker, but, like, looking back on it, it doesn't really matter. It's just kind of annoying.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like dealing with logistics is just, like, generally non-sexy, you know?
And it feels like I'm working, you know what I mean? It's, like, another, like, task, rather than just, like, the whole point of, like, going out on the date is to just, like, kick back, relax, and, like, meet someone new, and, like, have a drink, right? Like,
my God, is the point to relax? I feel
like... No, the point might be, I am never relaxed. I am, like, always internally having, like, these existential crises. But, like, I think that should be the goal, is, like, go meet somebody and, like, have a drink and, like enjoy casually it. Enjoy, like, hanging out in each other's presence.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, for sure.
It's, like, a theoretical limit. Yeah, like, it's not necessarily
I don't think I've ever
possible.
Had a first date where that is what has happened, but, like, I think that's the goal.
Wait, that's really interesting because I don't think I have either, but like going on more of the dates like made it like that I could kind of relax. But I did always like, I would always like be on the date and be like, who am I? Is this who I am? Like, what is this person thinking of me? And I know that's like a greater problem where I was too in my own head to like be dating properly, which was part of my problem. But just truly like, am I the kind of person who can't like, I don't know. I'm having flashbacks to it because I'm doing like informationals with like second years, like job stuff. It's all like, and I'm just like, who am I? Like meeting all these new people. Like, it's just weird. But
and then just like one of those like broader dating topics is like, I think I just done, I'm doing a volunteer program here in New York and like we had an orientation on Saturday and like, obviously there's like some icebreakers involved. And like, so the teacher on the spot was like, in the next minute, come up with your 6-word autobiography. Ugh. And like questions like that where you're like, holy shit, who am I? What do? Why do I exist? It's just like, I feel like that more than less, like in some form, not necessarily that like comes up, like you have that moment on a date. I think that like, and then you're just like, what am I doing here?
Yeah. You have to like,
why are you here with me? Like, what is this?
Yeah. You have to like package yourself for someone else. And like, it's gotta be,
it has to, and it's also different from person to person.
Totally. It's like, what's going to make you buy what I'm selling? Yeah, like, even, sure. You know, it's, yeah, it is.
It's interesting.
Tiring. Oh my God. Tonight, I just thought of this, and this is going to be a terrible idea, but tonight I have to record on video through this, like, interview prep software, my 30-second pitch, like, for the Career Center here. We all have to do it. Like, that's kind of like, what if a dating app had that? Like, it would probably not be right, but like, because I know this is not going to be like the way I'll ever deliver it in real life. It's just for them to like judge us, like the Career Center and our not judge us, help us. But I was just like, oh yeah, you really do like pitch yourself on a date a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. Like you have to package yourself. You have to be like, what are my, like, you don't have to say the six words only, but like you really have to think about like what your, what's my fun fact? Like, totally. Like what do I?
It's like going on Shark Tank. Like you got to have a little bit of a shtick. You got to have a, you got to put a nice little spin on everything. Kind of like gloss over your bad shit. Just cruise right by it until Cuban's like, wait. So where did that extra $100,000 go? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, just like thinking of like whether it really should be like, should you be trying to impress somebody or it should come like organically where you like just connect and then it's like,
yeah,
like I would think that you'd have a better relationship or like a better like connection if it was the latter.
Yeah.
Right. But there is like always like if you're trying to impress somebody, like, I don't know, there's a certain flattery to that. And there's also like a certain like arrogance that you can convey if you're trying to be like too outwardly, like, I don't know.
Well, I think it's respectful to like put your best foot forward. Like maybe not try to impress someone, but like bring your at least B+ game. Oh, you know, sure. What I mean? Like obviously, which you know, yeah. But just like, but I feel like, cause I feel like that even in a relationship sometimes, like it's really easy to just
lax,
not like take any time to like make, you know, be good to the person, like make effort. Like it's easy to make no effort.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and it gets to a point where you're like, oh no, like I need to, like some effort is required to keep this. And I feel like it's that. It's like it should be organic, but it also, especially in early dating, you do have to like,
I mean, early dating is never
organic. Shine the windows or something. None of my metaphors are making any sense today. No one shines their windows.
That's okay. I said something about like a flock of birds earlier today and I was like, that makes absolutely zero sense. I sound like an idiot.
Wait, I always used to say putting your hands in pots.
Oh yeah, you have your hand in too many pots.
Yeah, you have your hand in too many pots, and I couldn't figure out what it is. Oh my god. And no one's been able to figure out what it is. A classmate of mine said something similar when we were like, we had to make these videos. He said something like, he was supposed to be acting like a douchebag when he said this, so like that's great for my metaphors, but he said something similar, like, I got my hand in a lot of pies or something. I was like, pies? There's something.
There is some saying. I also think there's a saying of like, she's got her spoon in every pot, like a chef thing, where but like you're dipping in every
pot.
That's
what I thought the pot, hands in pots was. Like you're cooking and you're trying to do too many things.
Yeah.
Trying to do too many things at once is definitely what it means, but I don't know what the like actual.
Well, then there's also like too many plates in the air, like the spinning plates, or like too many balls in the air. Like, ooh. I feel like these are all combining. You guys listening?
What is the literary term for this? Because I just want to say, I think the conclusion is don't try to use any of these in a real setting, yeah, because you're gonna get it wrong.
But if someone listening knows what the metaphor? Fuck we're looking for, like just put us out of our misery and send us an email.
And also, how does like spinning plates and juggling balls relate to more people? Sorry, like, those are specific things. Like, how is that supposed to make me relatable? Like, those are things clowns do. Okay,
yeah, like
those are not good analogies or metaphors or whatever. Okay, all right. Sundays are really fun. I think we should record on them more.
LOL. Okay.
All right.
So you're on this date.
Yes.
How is the, like, tell us about, like, the first impression, like.
Well, the first impression was, can you do 7 p.m., which for me was, like, seemingly very early, which I don't think is necessarily, just from my perspective.
Yeah.
Because, like, I work out, like, in Westchester, so I do a little bit of a reverse commute, and, like, coming back to the city, I was, like, 7 p.m. can, like, set a couple things. It's, like, oh, I have, like, I'm just out of work early, it could be convenient, or, like, oh, I want to make sure it's early enough so that I can, like, just be home and do, like, whatever I want. So,
yeah.
Like, it could be, like, again, reading way too much into things, but, like. And I don't know, it just had a certain connotation in my mind. But, like, when we were there, no, I mean, it was good. I think, like, interestingly enough, we were able to have, like, again, like, conversation around specific points that, like, came up organically, but, like, were relatable, like, hometown and, like, Richmond experience and just other things like that. We spent a lot of time talking about she's a teacher, which, from my perspective, was very cool, and just because it's so different from what I do. And I think I mentioned on the podcast last time that, like, I didn't like talking about work, but I was, like, very intrigued just because it's a whole nother world. Like, she's a year older than I am, and she had just, like, finished grad school and was, like, just entering, like, full-time teaching world or, like, trying to.
Well, that's why she had to hang out at 7. She probably has to wake up at, like, 5 a.m.
Well, that was it. She had to wake up.
Oh, yeah, and she probably was done at, like, 3 p.m.
So, like, the whole thing was, like, now it makes a lot of sense. Don't overread into anything before a date because it just isn't worth it.
But,
like,
yeah.
Also, I'm proud of her because I did that one day of teaching volunteering. I think we recorded after it, or not even. I was so tired. I think teachers should be paid $1 million a year, $500,000 at the least. I have not been that exhausted in a long time. You're on your feet all day. You're on all day. You're dealing with, and I had second graders. They were adorable. They were not problematic. They did not ask me if I was married or not. They were very chill. And, like, I was so exhausted. I, like, went, maybe we didn't record because I think I, like, got home. Or maybe we recorded and then I took a nap. And it was supposed to be, like, an hour and a half or so. I woke up, like, 3 hours later and then went back to sleep for the rest of the night. I was like, mm-mm.
Both my parents started their careers as teachers. And my mom said, like, she was like, I have never in my life been tired like my first year of teaching. Not when I had kids. Not when I was, like, she was, like, going to school full-time and working full-time. Like, she was like, I've never been that tired. Just, like,
no,
constantly.
A whole group. You're on your feet. Do. It's, like, it's very impressive. Because I genuinely, like, realize that I like teaching or tutoring, but I just simply could not do it. And especially not for the under, like every, they're very underpaid.
Every day, like, of course, thank God they have the summers off, because you'd, like, lose your mind if it was a full year-round.
But that's why they need to be paid more, because they have the summers off, but they always, most teachers need to have another job.
Yeah.
It's just, like, anyway, that's another podcast.
Another conversation. Yeah.
The bartender at, like, my bar downstairs is a teacher.
Jesus.
And I'm always like, this is what's wrong. Yeah, but... Yeah. Okay. So you're on the date. You are talking about work. Like, how was the conversation natural? Like, did it flow well, or the vibes?
Yeah. I mean, there's just, like, there were, like, and that was just a lot of incoherent thought. But, yeah, there were, like, moments where it would, like, freeze and you'd have to kind of restart and jump in, which is always, like, a little bit challenging because, like, I always think it leads to, like, unnatural questions, but I think for the most part it was pretty good. It flowed pretty well. I mean, I think it's just, like, a conversational style, like, sometimes, like, aren't a perfect mesh, but, like, I think it, for the most part, like, I was fine with it. Like, we had fun. We were there. We both had two drinks. So I think we were there for, like, an hour and a half. So, like, we were chatting for the most part. And, like, I think it was very, like, convenient too that this was a couple weeks ago, but it was, like, right after the Emmys. So, like, we had, like, pop culture thing to talk about. We had work to talk about. There's just, like, a lot of things to talk about, which was, like, convenient. Mm-hmm. And I think if there were fewer things to talk about, it would have been a little bit harder. But, like, I don't know. You decide. It was, like, I walk out of certain conversations feeling like I had to put in more effort than less, and maybe in this case had to put in a little bit more. But yeah. Not to any fault of hers. It was just, like, a function of just, like, personalities.
No. It's, like, this is just dating. I understand, like, that feeling exactly. And that doesn't mean you're, like, being mean about the date or anything. But I have some logistical questions, and you can answer them or not. So who got there first?
Me.
You did. Yes. And then did you pick a spot at the bar?
I did, yeah. And I had originally, like, of course, because this is how dating goes, like, I'd gotten there and everything was, like, full. So I, like, texted her. I was like, uh-oh, everything is, like, really crowded. And, like, started sweating and freaking out. And she's like, all right, well, there's this other place we can try. And then I ended up being like, all right. Couple seats just opened up, so I just locked down two spots.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually, we haven't talked about that a ton, but that is such a terrible moment when you're, because I like being the first one there, but then when there's nothing open, it's, like, so awkward. I definitely start sweating. Or, like, I had a date at, like, the top of the Wythe, one of the dates we talked about, like, just where there's, like, seating for tables, which is weird, but, like, then there's also just a bar, like, and you don't want to, like,
it's, like, unnecessary stress, right? Because, like, ultimately, yep, like, it'll be fine. But, like, I was like, yeah, there's no seats here. We can't be here. We need to go. We need to reschedule. We need to find another place. I don't know where I am in the Upper East Side. I was just, like, rapidly spiraling, but it ended up being fine.
Yep. No. So you just waited and got seats. Like, I hate not getting a seat right away at the bar, but you always get a seat. Do you know what I mean? Even with friends. It always happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, it was, like, stress over nothing, but, yeah, we sat down at the bar. It was, yeah.
I get that stress so much, though, because, like, the first time meeting someone is already awkward. Like, I hate the, like, even for, like, businessy coffees, mm-hmm, or whatever, I hate, like, we get there, we put our stuff down, like, they said they were going to buy me a coffee, and then I'm like, it's just, like, it's annoying and weird, and, you know, you need someone to, like, take control, and... It's, like, it's just, like, a very strange way to meet someone, by having, like, a weird logistical interaction that's, like, when things are crowded and loud and stressful.
Yeah.
That's, like, my personal social anxiety hell.
I feel like the theme of this is slowly turning into the logistics of dating and like how to approach them and deal with them. Because I think like even as you think about prioritizing, I mean, that really is just a logistical issue. Like carving out time from a, like from that standpoint.
Well, yeah, so that was my other question. How did you end up actually getting on the date? And what were the things that were like preventing you both from getting on the date logistically?
Yeah, I mean,
in terms of prioritization.
I just like, it's tough with my work schedule. I think I have a pretty demanding career that requires like time spent in the office almost sometimes to a fault in terms of just like making FaceTime and just like being around. Like, I don't necessarily love dipping out before like people who are more senior than me who are working with me on projects and stuff. It just feels like uncomfortable. So like sometimes I have to prioritize work over, you know, social environment. So like, how did I physically get it? I did have to like tell my coworkers like that I was going to bounce out early. It was early enough, like 7 o'clock. It means I can like, if I needed to work on the back end, I could do that. But, yeah, I just have to like, I had to carve out time and like put time on my calendar, like work calendar. Really cool, really stiff. But like put time on my work calendar that I was just out of the office and like, I just like, yeah, make time with an emphasis on make.
Well, it's hard. I mean, I feel like that's something I hear from everyone in New York, like all the time, is that it's really, you have to do anything in New York, you basically have to give something up.
Yeah,
because it's
sure.
like,
the series of trade-offs. Like,
yeah. Like, it's rare to have a free night here. It's rare to, like, you know, everything's just crazy all the time. And your life is, like, filled with shit wall to wall. And so it's, like, something has to be moved. Like, you got to move out some furniture to, like, move in some furniture.
For sure. And I think, like, that's part of, like, I don't know. That's part of what I love about New York. It's, like, I am constantly busy and there are constantly things to do. Mm-hmm. But, like, for example, as we think about this podcast and, like, continuing to go on dates, like, this upcoming week, I'm in town Monday. And then like late Friday and the weekend, and so like it just becomes like one of those things where it's like it feels like, oh no, I'm gonna miss out on these opportunities, or like, oh no, I have to put in like this much more work and like set up these dates like a week out. Like, it just feels like, again, like these weird logistics you have to deal with. And so like that can just like, I think, make dating sometimes a little bit less enjoyable, because it's just like, there is like a certain pressure to like keep up with the pace of dating in the city, which is obviously very fast paced. And so, like, thinking through that and, like, thinking what it means, like, I'll look at my phone and be like, I want to match with this person, but I don't want to do it now because I can't go on a date this week.
Totally. One of my best friends who has been a guest on the pod, Katie, is her and I am. If you remember that episode, she's my cousin. She, you know, has been trying to date more here, and she had a 3-week work trip and then a 2.5-week vacation scheduled almost back to back. So she was like, cool, I'm not going to be in the city for a month and a half. I shouldn't go on dates starting in like the month or two before that, because what, like, if like the ideal is something works, cool, it works, I'm going to be gone for a month and a half. Like, it's just like, so it's that shit all the time. Like, it's really, it is something that you have to, I think, like, say actively, like, I want this, I'm making changes. I mean, maybe not for everyone. I don't know.
I think it is something you have to prioritize if it's important to you. And Kenny, like, I know it's, like, important to you, but you're also, like, just enjoying it. Sorry, and I'm putting words in your mouth, but, like, it seems like you're enjoying the city. You do like going on dates, and then now you have this added commitment of the podcast. So, like, it's not necessarily, I need to find my person now. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and like, as I go through it and as I hang out with people, I think I'm continuing to develop a perspective on that and, like, trying to figure it out. But, like, yeah, I'm not rushing into anything. I think it's fun. I'm having fun. I like meeting new people. It's like a good way to continue to explore a city that's relatively new to me, for lack of better words. But like, yeah, I think, and I don't think the podcast is changing my perspective on dating by any means, but it's just like helping reinforce sometimes like you do have to put in the effort to make sure that you don't slip out and get lazy and lackadaisical and like just put dating off to the side. Because I think if you do that, it's easy like to let it slide, and then hard to like, you find yourself as like harder to get back into. And I think like, unfortunately, for better or for worse, like reps, like going on dates makes you so much better at dating. And like, I don't mean that to be like, I'm just going on a date with you to get better at dating. But like, unless you're dating, you're gonna just like be uncomfortable dealing with conversations that otherwise would be more fluid. Cause I think I have very similar conversations on most first dates that I go on. Like, there's like a lot of overlap.
And again, it's like weirdly like networking. And sorry, And then, Liza, say what you were going to say. Yeah. I just brought that up because I was thinking about some people here. Like, business school is insanely busy, like, and it's all ramping up now with, like, clubs, and you're just meeting people. Like, my schedule is, like, way more scheduled than normal, but somehow, like, in going out and meeting these people for informationals, I'm learning how to squeeze more in, or, like, feeling like I'm going to get better practice with it. And, like, I admit, and I was talking to girls who are in the MBA program right now about, like, I wouldn't be able to be, like, out on first dates right now in LA. I think that would be overwhelming. But I have heard some people, like, just flat out say, like, I really want to meet someone and then don't do anything about it, you know? And I'm not trying to shame, but, like, I've heard people really, like, I mean, that's not, you know, I think it's a little bit.
It's an inward-outward dilemma, right? Because, like, you want people to come to you and, like, find you attractive and be interested in you, but unless you put yourself out there and, like, you're assuming too much of other people, right? Like, so, like, obviously you want the attraction to be inward towards you, but you also have to expel the same towards someone else to make that work.
Yeah, and I personally just realized, like, I was talking to a girl here at school, because there are, like, it's, like, 35% women, so there are a ton of men around. Dating in business school is weird, so not many people are doing it yet, but it'll happen. That's what business school always says. But I was talking to another girl here who was just kind of like, oh, I feel like I'm bad at flirting, so I'm not, like, really flirting with any of the guys from our class yet, but I'm not out and dating. And I'm like, I really relate to that, because I was never, like, really good at, like, I had to, like, get to know people for a while and then have that stuff start, like our acting class Liza and I were in. But, like, I'm not, like, someone who just, like, flirts really hard at, like, a party and then has people asking me out. So I think, like, dating worked well for me, because it was, like, two people. It wasn't, like, I don't know, like, going on first dates, as much as I hated it, in the end, kind of is, like, better for me, because I'm a little bit shy. I'm not, like, super good at flirting. So it's, like, prioritizing the way you want to, if you really want to meet someone, the way you want to meet them, too. It doesn't have to be going on dates. I think dates are, you know, kind of easier than just, like, hitting on someone in the moment, not knowing if they're, you know, open for dating, if that makes sense. But I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like, obviously I think that everybody wants the same, I mean, that's a lie, not everyone wants the same thing, but I think that a lot of people want the, like, thing of, like, someone falls into your lap, you immediately hit it off, it's beautiful, you connect, you fall in love, like, there's no effort, you know, and it's like,
yeah, of course.
And, like, yeah, like, but for most people that doesn't happen, so it's something where you, I totally agree to your point, Kimmy, that there's a lot of people who, and I was one of these people for years and years and years, who, like, don't like their dating life but are not doing anything to change it. And, like, no shade in that. It was me. Like, it absolutely 100% was me. It was, I just would get crushes on friends, feel awful, and then, like, you know, pine after them for a long time, and then would just get a crush on a new and a different friend. Like, it was, because I was just desperate for someone that I already knew to be the love of my life, you know, and obviously it's not, but yeah.
But sometimes that does work, right? So I think you just need to be open-minded.
Totally.
Right?
I mean, like, ultimately that is what happened to me. Yeah. And that was really nice. I won't fucking lie. It was super nice to just reconnect with an old friend and be like, oh, we're in love now. Like, a couple months later, that was great. I recommend it. But I also really wish I had realized earlier that, like, I was more in control than I admitted, and, like, I had to make some changes and push myself. And yeah, it's that same thing of, like, you have to change to get, you know, to whatever, you have to, like, adapt, and it's so hard to do with dating, and I just never did it. But yeah, I think so many people don't.
Yeah, and that's why I have taken an approach where, like, I prefer, if I think about, like, what a relationship looks like, it's probably not with a friend, because I think, like, a lot of the people that I know and, like, enjoy being friends with, I don't want to put that at risk in terms of just, like, making it weird or complicated and, like, making it challenging for, like, other people around me to, like, hang out with people they want to hang out with. So, like, I think from my perspective, like, first of all, great to meet new people. But second of all, like, meeting someone new comes with a lot less, like, potential baggage in that sense. And so, like, that's why I've been, like, more apt and, like, more kind of focus on meeting people that I have fewer connections with than, like, someone who I went to, like, for example, went to school with.
More apt to. Apt with a D. Get it?
Yeah.
You're more apt.
Sunday! That went right over my head.
Can we call more this episode apt?
To be an, on an app.
A-P-P apostrophe D.
That's only that word. Thank you. Really thank you cool. for spelling it out. I've had one beer.
Puns. Is it a pun? Is it a metaphor? What is anything?
English.
It's yeah. connecting two words. That sounded like.
I was just going to try to do one with priorities. And the first thing I knew it was priorities. Like dicks.
Enjoy.
Someone needs
enjoy.
To put me to bed.
Priorities.
Give me a sandwich and just tuck me in and put me out of my misery and just put
ooh,
me to sleep.
A sandwich. A sandwich sounds good.
I ate like a kind of greasy brunch, which was really good, but then I stopped for the day and now I'm starting to regret it.
I want a sandwich. Like a real solid, like, big deli sandwich.
I feel like people in California don't eat sandwiches.
I don't know. Yeah, not as much. But they eat a ton of burgers. So many burgers. Liza, it's still, the trend is still here.
That was
years
first,
later.
Our first big trip we took to LA, like, it was maybe five days, like a handful of years ago. And everyone we hung out with was like, oh my God, I'm going to take you to a place to get the best burger. Like, we had like three best burgers in LA. Like, this is the best burger in LA. I was like,
and
why is everyone telling us this all the time?
Our
they
first
were all
was
good.
Father's office. Kenny, we went to Father's office. Liza, we went to the Father's office in Culver City, which I feel Father's office is a very good first date spot if you're down to eat a burger. Okay,
I like the
vibe
there. I thought it was cool.
And then Kenny and I went to the original one in Santa Monica that was small.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and Liza, remember that same trip when our friends took us like late night to one in Santa Monica, a burger place after the bar?
Yes. I mean, I barely remember, but I do remember.
I barely remember. Barely. But I went back there with James Waldeck when I first moved here.
Funny.
Or no. Sorry. Actually, James listened, so that's good. No, that was when I like was visiting UCLA. But I went and had burger and I was like, this is the place, I've been here before, and it was a very good burger.
I mean, all the burgers are good. Like most things you eat in LA are really good. Like, it has a great food scene and culture, and there's like a lot, you know, a lot of the there's a lot more local produce and stuff because there's so many farms in California.
The produce is way better.
Yeah, just like, so your restaurant food, like on average, like an average restaurant is better there than an average restaurant here, I think.
Medium. I can't decide. I would agree with you with the food. Like you go to like smaller places, taco trucks, but I'm like, New York's restaurant scene is probably unrivaled, or I'm just not good enough at this yet, and I rely too much on the infatuation, and it's not as strong here as it is in New York. Like, places are rated way higher here.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
We'll have to discuss this with Lauren, who might be listening.
Yes. Lauren can help me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lauren, if you end up making it for my birthday, we have to hang out with Lauren.
Yes, totally.
Lauren.
I told her last night, I was like, we need to have an LA fun venture. Okay. Sorry.
So did you?
Thanks for staying with us on that romp, listeners.
We love it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, what do we want to talk about priorities? What's our priority?
I don't know. Well, like, I think, like, how do you prioritize getting on the date? Like, it sounds like, Kenny, that you guys had just, like, schedule stuff. So, like, when do you give up? This is not exactly priorities, but, like, how do you prioritize someone who's a stranger versus someone else who's a stranger who you might be able to, like, text with and go on a date with in 3 days?
Well, it's, like, the impossible thing. I think I might have mentioned this last time, but, like, with an app, it's, like, creates this, like, priority dilemma because it's, like, there's always someone around the corner. And, like, I think you have to, like, I forcibly, like, just like fewer people so that, like, you can find a way to end up on a date rather than constantly just, like, exchanging messages. Like, I'll like people and, like, be like, why did I just do that? And like, I don't mean to be like it almost feels rude because I'm like wasting your time because I just like, from like an outward, like high level perspective, I'm like, this probably like just isn't going to be a thing. But like, I'm happy to go on a date with you, but like, this probably just like isn't going to be a thing. But like, I'm like, there's now like too many people in this like list of people that I'm chatting with, and I'm like, now I can't prioritize. So I think, like, if you're selective a little bit and, like, just take it slower, which is kind of counterintuitive because it's, like, really hard to, like, you're making an assumption that you're going to convert a lot of the people that you like on an app into a date, which is, like, the counterbalance to that, because if you're not, like, matching with enough people, you're not guaranteed to get a date. But if you're matching with too many people, then you could, like, end up with, like, three people asking you out on a date, or, like, trying to deal with logistics around three people at the same time, and it's just an absolute chaos, and, like, nobody, neither party wants to deal with that. So I think it's, like, from my perspective, it's, like, taking it just a little bit slower, but also, like, giving yourself the chance to be, like, of these three people, if I had three people who wanted to go on a date with me, for example, like, this week, like, I think you have to be willing to, like, make a choice and, like, maybe say, like, hey, sorry, something came up this week, like, if you're still around next week, or, like, it's like you can't date everyone. I think it's like something that people are going to have to realize, especially if like you're an app user as I am. Because it's just like an unlimited world. There's so many people in the city. There's so many people in the city that use apps. Like it's like almost like you're never going to be able to date everyone.
And I think like too much vetting would get in the way of me because I'd start getting in my paper checklist, my like, well, this is the type of guy I see myself with. Whereas like if you just see the app as like a random sample that you get, like don't match with too many people, just match with like some, but be open-minded and go on dates with them.
Yeah,
if you think they seem normal.
Yeah, for sure. I also don't think, like, to your point, like paperless, like not worth overreading it, but like at the same time, don't match with 15 people and then just ignore half of them.
right,
bad etiquette. And like ultimately, because like that works both ways. Like I'll match with people, like send a message, and then like clearly they just like don't follow up or like don't respond, and it's like totally fine, because, like, you're not on the hook to do that, but at the same time, like, always is better to have a conversation if it's available.
Wait, I kind of want to read this listener comment in the secret Facebook group, because it has to do with this, from today, and we'll double-check with her. I'll keep it anonymous, but that it's okay. Cool?
Yeah, totally.
It's kind of like, it makes sense with this to me. I saw it this morning.
Totally.
So, hey, all, not a question, but something I wanted to post here nonetheless. I was a pretty early listener to the podcast, and I'd also been wandering through the online dating desert with no luck. I like that, online dating desert.
Yeah, just completely.
After hearing Bumble come up on a few episodes, I decided to give it another shot and added it back into the mix. A few months and a bunch of false starts and unsuccessful dates later, I did a what have I got to lose match with a guy who I ended up chatting with. So that's kind of, I think, what the what have I got to lose match is kind of that, like, yeah, let's match. This might not be what I first saw myself swiping on, if I'm understanding correctly.
Yeah.
He asked me to drinks. I knew we had some common interests and values from talking, but didn't have the full rundown that some of the other apps give you. And I'm so glad. As it transpired, he was a perfect match, values and personality-wise, but otherwise had a lot of differences from the guys I usually swiped right on, which means that if I'd had too much info, I might have never ended up on that date. There was never any waiting around or games after that. Right from the beginning, I knew it was right, and he did too. Here I am 4 months later, and the happiest I've ever been in a relationship that I never saw coming.
That's awesome.
Moral of the story, don't be afraid to go outside of your box and date someone different. Maybe that's the reason your go-to variety of potential dates isn't working out. There's someone out there for you who will make you happy and treat you right. It's like really sweet.
That's really, really, really sweet.
I don't know. It's like just like thinking of that within the context of everything we were just talking about is kind of helpful, because that's kind of how I felt about, like, there are a lot, like, obviously I swiped on him, wasn't, you know, but date 13 is different than a lot of guys I've dated before, so I don't know.
I think, like, the term, like, checking the box applied to dating is, like, not really fair. I don't know, because then it's, like, you're putting someone technically in a box and, like, essentially, like, quantifying their characteristics in terms of, like, how many things that, like, you're looking for they, like, outwardly express or, like, inhibit. So, like, from my perspective, yeah, being fluid and, like, just being more open leads to more fun opportunities than you typically think.
Totally. And those checklist things tend to be not things that are, like, essential about the person. Like, they're things that are, like, quote-unquote accidental. Like, there's that, whatever, sorry, this is my sober feminism for a second. My hungover feminism for a second. It's not even feminism. There's like, a philosophical concept of essential qualities versus accidental qualities. So your essential quality is that you have light brown hair. An accidental quality is that you work in finance.
Sure.
Like, things about you that are essential to who you are versus things that just happen to be true and could have been different. And I feel like this is, like, it doesn't exactly fall down these lines, but I think so many times people's kind of those check boxes are, like, accidental qualities about someone. Things that, like, just are paper things that could have been totally different if their life had been a little bit different or whatever. And it's funny because I do now, like, because we talk about dating so much and it's so much part of the world. Like, whenever I got this wedding yesterday, I was talking to a lot of people, and I was talking to a girl who was like in a weird dating situation, and I was hearing about it, and I was like, well, what's your type? And she was like, she ran me down this like checklist, and and nothing about it was like, she didn't even do the cliche, like someone with a good sense of humor. It was just like this, that, like somebody who wants to get married, wants this, wants, like, and it's cool to know what you want. I'm not shading that, but I also think it's like so important that those on paper checkbox things, like, really don't define who someone is or their personality or what it's like to be around them.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And like, as admittedly, paid way too much attention to certain checkbox things. I never did it with, like, I would have been smarter. Like, someone who wants a relationship, you know, that would have been a great checkbox for me to have had when I was like 25, but I didn't. And who knows if I even did want a relationship then. But I do think there are just certain things. And it has to do with like familiarity with something or what I thought my type was or something. Like, it was not always. And then otherwise snotty things like this college, this, like, that's dumb. That is dumb yeah. stuff to worry about. Sorry.
Well, your priorities, full circle, and like who you want are defined by like your specific set of experiences. Mm-hmm. And like our set of experiences is just like finite. And also just like, it's everything that's like fucked us up to this point. You know, it's like, it's all good and bad, but it's all our baggage. Mm-hmm. So like the shit you're looking for is probably just like an expression of your baggage.
And the stuff that you like are not necessarily looking for, you might just not know that you want to look for because you haven't been willing to like step away from your certain prioritized, like, check the box items.
Totally. Right?
So like being more flexible. I think like to that point though, like finding something you can connect on, like I think like understanding what you're looking for and then finding some way to get there, not necessarily like A to B, but maybe it's A to C to B, like just finding a way to like connect on a certain like familiar ground is always like just the goal, right? Because like I think people from different places, people from different backgrounds, people from just like different lifestyles and walks of life is like honestly typically more interesting. Like I think it would be like not out of the question, but like less inclined to date somebody who did the same job as me, because I feel like it would just be like the same personality is the same, but like, again, It just depends on the person. Like, I'm trying to find people who are like from a different part of the country, from a different part of the world, like who have just like done different things, like work in a creative environment, like versus just like an office space. I think it's like, I think it ultimately leads to like not only like more, maybe more things to talk about, but it also just like broadens your horizons and like gives you a different perspective, because like otherwise you'd be meeting, again, people that are so similar to you that it's not necessarily like, you know, I'm trying to think of the right word, but it's not necessarily like beneficial or like developmental towards like how you just think about like the broader.
Yeah.
Like, especially with New York City with so many different types of people like inhabiting every single, I mean, we're in a 4-story apartment building, and I bet every person in this building just is very, not necessarily everybody, but like brings a different opinion to the table, likes different, has different interests, like has been from different parts of the world, different schools. Like, I think it's just like interesting, and I think being in New York especially, you need to just be more open-minded because there are so many different walks of life.
Yeah. I feel like the like distillation of everything we've talked about is like, it's kind of important to like blow up your priorities a little bit, like to think about what they are, especially in another person.
Oh, for sure.
And like just try to at least like explore outside of some of them, because like we set those things for ourselves and we're not always the best judges of our own selves.
And I think you can, like, try to blow them up within your own life and, like, if dating is a priority or not, too. Like, it's just, like, going outside of your comfort zone. Like, whether or not – like, if you find yourself complaining about being single but you don't go on dates, if you don't even have an app downloaded, download a fucking app to start, you know? Sorry, that sounded mean. But I'm, like, you can't complain if you don't – you know? It might not be your jam. Like, you might – but, like, blow something up about the way you're prioritizing. Or if you prioritize dating to almost a fault where, like, you get – into things and they're not like you get like if ask a friend and they'll tell you if they're a good friend if you like prioritize dating to a fault. Oof, I don't know. Then that's like maybe time to like blow that up and like take a break from it. I don't know. I think that does apply, totally. Eliza, what you
when
said.
We had like our lovely anonymous guest on from 180 Days of Not Dating blog, or not a blog, it was an Instagram, 180 Days of Not Dating. And she basically did that. She was like, she knew she was too invested in like a series of relationships that had gone wrong. And she took half a year off dating and talked about it. And I was like the self-awareness to realize that you need that too is like so important. I know some people mm-hmm. who could take a break.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm yeah. honestly like fine with weeks where I'm like, I can't go on a date. Right. Yeah. Like I'm in terms of priorities, like work and like career is still very much so a priority in my life. And like dating is kind of supplemental to that. Right. So it's like, again, prioritizing to the extent that you want to and deprioritizing to the extent that you need to.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Excellent.
On that note, should we? Fuck yeah. Points all over this. Yeah.
Making points. Putting points on the board. Sunday night. Let's go.
Is that a sports metaphor that I made?
Putting points on the board? Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a sports thing.
That's a sports thing.
Are you that disconnected from sports?
Yes. Okay. Except for, no, that's a lie. Because they say that in basketball. And basketball is the only sport, college basketball is the only sport that I like. I'm not even that knowledgeable, but I follow pretty closely because of UConn. That's not important. Do you, me being proud of a tiny, really simple sports turn of phrase. Should we read a worst first or best first?
We'll read. I there's a best first. Should we read it?
Yeah, right? And then we can
yeah.
close it out from there.
All right. I like quickly read this. There might be some surprises in here for me, to be really honest. So we'll see. Hi, Kimmy and Liza and Kenny. At 31, I had recently re-entered the dating game and have found such comfort and wonderful advice from your podcast. Thank you. I love hearing the relatable best and worst date first date scenarios you share, and I figured it would be a great time to share one of my own as it relates to the most recent podcast with Kenny and the discussion on activity dating. So remember when we talked about like going on a date with an activity?
Yeah, for sure.
The best first date I have ever gone on was an activity date. This, of course, could not be a situation that can often happen as it required planning, time, and a large sense of adventure. Though, if you find someone up for the challenge and you both have a free day to commit, it's so worth it. Ooh, ooh. I had met a guy on Match.com and exchanged the obligatory awkward dating website messages, switched to text, and had a phone call. Ooh, we should talk about phone calls more. I like that. We both had been attracted to each other's sense of adventure and love for new activities, so we used that attraction for a date. We decided to spend a Saturday morning and afternoon together the following week where each of us selected an activity we enjoyed and thought the other person had maybe never engaged in. It was all a surprise on the day of, minus what clothing should be worn, brought. Oh my, this is out of a movie. I did not read this closely. This is great. I could have shit myself. I was so nervous that Saturday morning. But amped to have found a guy up for a new experience. He picked me up promptly at 7:30 a.m. with a coffee in hand. I know. Who the hell goes on a 7:30 a.m. date?
Wow.
We headed to my stop.
Buddy brought coffee.
So her
That's
date.
A good guy.
Hot yoga. And I had guessed correctly that this ex-Marine had never done yoga before. This is cool. He was such a champion, sweating through the whole class, trying all the poses with a smile on his face. We hit the showers, changed into swimsuits and athletic apparel, and took a drive. I love that we had about an hour drive to recap the yoga as well as get to know each other, eventually stopping at a hiking location. He grabbed a bag with snacks and waters, and we hiked to the edge of a cliff and jumped off of it into a lake. Ugh, I wouldn't have.
Wow.
The date ended with another ride home and stopped for lunch for deeper conversation, and I was back by 4 p.m. Yes, a bold move and a long-time investment for a first date, but we got to bond on a deeper level than with a drink at a bar, as well as firsthand learn about one another's personalities and interests. On that date, I learned he could laugh at himself, was open to trying new things, knew how to plan an activity, was timely, organized, a good instructor, patient, and generally a fun person to be around. Our second date was ziplining in the mountains. We didn't get past date 4, but it's been 6 years, and we were still good friends. Moral of the story, try an activity date. Maybe something neither one of you is engaged in before. The bonding that occurs over trying new things, taking a class, making fools of yourself together is bold, but so rewarding. Thank you for sharing
That's cool.
That's out of control and, like, frankly, depressing. Like, how are you supposed to live up to that? Way to set the standard way too high.
I mean, but I don't think you have to live up to it.
I
think it's like a really good way to shift thinking about, like, I prioritize drink states. Like, switch up your priorities. Think about new things. I just like that it's so different than any date I've ever gone on, and I would absolutely have failed it because I would have not been brave enough to jump off the cliff, and I would have been worried about getting murdered the whole time I was in the car with a stranger. But I, like, this is very, this, like, shakes up my brain in terms of, like, when we talk about dating or, like, give advice, even though we're totally unqualified, I'm always like, go on drinks, it's easier. This is, like, so much more interesting.
Yeah, and, like, I think truly, even just in that, you know, we've heard so many worst first date stories and even best first date stories, and even in just these, like, couple words, you get so much of a sense of who this guy is, that he shows up, he has coffees, he does, he has snacks and water, and he is a planner and he's a thinker. Like, stuff like that it's easier to tell who someone is sometimes from, like, watching them do something. Similar to the conversation we were having at the beginning. Like, if you're just sitting talking, like, it is kind of a pitch of sorts. But if you're doing something, like, it's easier to see somebody's stripes, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. Yeah. I want to go on a date with that guy. Or that couple. Maybe I can just tag along.
Yeah, right?
And, like, just be part of that.
I know.
Good on this him.
This feels
for, like
a real... Okay, wait. Someone's going to steal this idea. I think this is our TV show.
Activities.
Extreme First Dates.
Yeah, totally.
Like, let's pitch this.
Well, great. Okay? Nobody steal it.
If you steal it, we have audio that says we thought of it
copyright.
First.
Copyright. What's the date today? Where are we? What year
C
is it?
C with a circle around it. TM with a tiny connected T and an M.
That's all legal. That's going to hold up in court.
I'm going to get a patent tomorrow, so don't even think about it.
Amazing.
Patent.
I'm going to go ahead and patent that.
Intellectual property. Boom. Mine. No.
Spence
okay,
dating.
Sorry.
On that note, let's tell everyone where they can find us.
Where they can find us and what they can do to support us.
Yes,
so
totally.
I just want to say I'm working on a little guide of date spots that I went on. For New York, obviously, that we're going to put on when we organize our Patreon, which is not up yet, so don't stress it. Just, like, float in that. I mentioned some merch in the group. People were voting. That's all. We're all going to do new cool things soon. Liza's looking at me like, are we?
Oh, no. Yes, we are. The date spot was news to me, and I was like, the date spot guide was news to me. And I was like, oh, that's exciting. The merch I'm very jazzed about.
I actually started the date spot guide. Amazing. I always said I would. And then, so it's going to take me a little time. But I want to put that on our Patreon because then you can just look at the date spots that I went on. I'm just trying to make it look prettier on Photoshop. But thank you for listening and rate, subscribing, reviewing. We really appreciate it. And I'm going to do my annoying call yet again because you all are already annoyed with me. So what's the harm? If you've been listening to this forever and still haven't done it and are like, ugh, stop it. But you do like us. It really helps. And it's actually free for you to do. If you just go, just like pause it, because we're not going to say anything interesting past this, I promise. Just get off and just rate, subscribe, review us right now. Right?
It takes so little time. You don't even have to write anything. You can just put in the star level that you think us deserving of. And then
I think the words might help, but like it's okay.
You can write like I like it. It's good. You know, you don't have to write a novel. Yeah. Like
good podcast.
One sentence is fine.
Nicole Byer, who... has a podcast called Why Won't You Date Me that we've talked about and advertised on this podcast. But she has a thing where she asks people to write her like dirty, nasty comments in the reviews. So we should come up with something. What can we ask our listeners to put in the review? Like their opening line or something?
Yeah, that would be fun. Or like how many dicks out of five they would give our podcast, which one amazing reviewer wrote in and put 5 eggplants out of 5 eggplants in the title of their review. Amazing. And I was like, I'm obsessed with you. Yeah.
So, like, share something with us. It does. You literally don't have to talk about the podcast. Just give a nice review with stars. And then, you know, tell us about your opening line or...
what you had for breakfast.
Your worst... what you had for breakfast. We'll come up with something intriguing soon. But obviously not today because it's a Sunday. Cool.
But in the meantime, do rate, subscribe, review. It really does help us out a lot. And follow us on Instagram at 51firstdatespod. And email us your worst first date stories, your best first date stories, your weird dating stories, your disgusting dating stories at 51firstdatespod@gmail.com. And that's it. Is that everything? Oh, join the Secret Facebook group.
Secret Facebook group, yes. Kenny, do you have any thoughts and feelings that you want to share with the world?
No. Thanks for continuing to put up with me as I continue to go through this and continue to develop and see how this goes. This is obviously a continuation of something that I was already doing, but it's weird a little bit still to memorialize it on a podcast. So, like, I don't know if I'm necessarily always saying the right things, but, like, we'll get there and we'll make it work. And, we're all good is what I guess
Kenny,
I'm
getting
you're
saying at. All of the right things.
You're crushing it.
Hey.
It is weird. It is hard.
I also think I might have said just all of the same things I said last podcast, so you got to bear with me if I'm very repetitive. Well,
I say the same thing every week. Every week.
It all boils down to, like, communicate.
Yeah. Say what you feel. Say what you want.
Exactly.
And change around. Just prioritize some things differently this week and go on a date.
Go on a date.
Go on a date.
A big shout out to Anthony from 5ohm for making us sound really good in post. And you should check 5ohm out online at 5ohm.com.
And that's spelled FIVEOHM.
Ohm.